Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
3 o'clock hour on the Hockman and Crowder show. Just got myself an espresso.
I got myself a Coke Zero.
All right, so are we committing to this? Are we going to clean out the vending machine? We kind of got busted yesterday because
we got some rats.
One of our listeners, Manny. I mean, Manny,
what are we doing, bro?
What the hell, Manny? Like, either you're with us or you're against us. If you're not with Appel, Crowder, Jimmy, and I in trolling Hawk while he's away, then you're playing defense on the show, and I got to be honest, I don't like it. I don't F with that. If you're Team Hawk, then you're not Team Us.
Crowder, will you donate to the fund to buy out the Coke Zeros and the vending machines here today?
Do you know Crowder? That's an obvious no.
I know I saw the text thread
as
I was traveling. Oh, I love it. That's a great idea. Hawk would be so pissed.
But now he knows it's coming.
They'll do it. He's gonna be mad walking in the door. It won't be a surprise, but he'll be mad still to that point. Mm-hmm. And then let's get him a bunch of Coke Zeros or Pepsi Zeros and bring them to him. So like we forgot.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I wish we knew who ran that vending machine. Swap out the Coke Zeros. Swap out everything for just Pepsi Zeros.
Products.
Oh man, now we're talking.
We're cooking now.
3 o'clock hour. What's up?
Oh no! I was talking something that came. I thought about last segment. That were you old enough for the BCS?
Yes.
Yeah, Solana. The BC Crowder. The BCS ended like 6 years ago.
No, the BCS ended like 13.
Yeah, it's been long.
The BCS, the selected the computer selection.
Yeah.
Since 2013. That's right. Wasn't Jameis? Wasn't the FSU title the first non BCS title? Damn, bro! It's been like 12 years.
Yeah, we're old.
I was a freshman in college.
This is the funniest thing. So I remember before the BCS, and that's why I know you don't remember before that. When it was a committee, everybody hated the human element. Then you get a computer, people hate the computer element. Then you go back to a committee, and now everybody's stupid. It is made for us to argue. I just thought about this when Gino was talking and we were discussing it. The entire system is made for us to argue.
I mean, look, it gives us a week's worth of content. I just hope they get it right in the end.
But what's right? Because the computer couldn't get it right, and now these dumb people can't either. It's hilarious.
What's right is not twisting our brains into pretzels to justify one team's ranking using the same criteria that would make another team drop in the rankings and not include them. I just want consistency. That's all I want.
Yes.
Is that so much to ask? Apparently.
Well, if it's strength of loss, then I don't know.
Well, they also said – they also, I think, gave Oregon credit because they beat Penn State as, like, a top five team early in the season. But that's the only team that they're giving that criteria for. It makes no sense. Does that mean that Miami still gets credit for beating USF when they were ranked 18th or 19th now that USF's out of the rankings?
I think they got us, Josh. They got you because you're emotional.
Just make it make sense.
So, Crowder, I'm glad you bring up if I remember something. Today, for 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored, I want to do something a little different with you, Crowder. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk with Rohan Nadkarni. He covers the NBA for NBC Sports. He's up in Chicago. The Heat play in Chicago tomorrow. But Rohan comes on. He's a big Dolphins fan. He's a big Channing Crowder fan. And I always really enjoy that segment. He's a good friend of the show. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Rob Pizzola will join us as well. We'll do headlines here in a second, but 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored. Dolphins are on a bye, which is the only reason why I feel comfortable kind of doing something NFL related, but not Dolphins related, just for today. We'll get back to Dolphin stuff tomorrow. It's brought to you by the Lexus December to Remember sales event. Get offers on select models for a limited time. Learn more at Lexus.com. Do either of you, I you know, was down a rabbit hole the other day. I'm just in my thinking place, the toilet.
I was going to say, great place to do some thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although the legs get tired, they fall asleep, and that's never a good feeling. Waking up the legs after a long trip to the bagno, not great.
Yeah, hemorrhoids at 30, not exactly ideal, but whatever.
You got to get the little thing that Hawk used to endorse.
The squatty potty?
The elevate.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've got squatty potties in all three or four of my bathrooms, but I don't use it anymore. I'm over
it. It's a little uncomfortable, though. I mean, I'm a big guy. My knees are going to be, you know.
Yeah. Then you have them. You rest your elbows on the knees. You can put your head down. Man, you can take a nap.
You taking a nap on the toilet, bro?
Isn't that how Elvis died?
Yeah, no, I have the little 5-year-old, so we had the little booster chairs so he could pee in the toilet, and now they're still there, so I use them like squatty potties, and my legs never go numb anymore. I don't know how it works.
So last week or 2 weeks ago, I was just trolling on the show, and I kept calling the football like a different, like the pigskin or the Duke, and somebody had DM'd me like, you only refer to the field as the gridiron from here on out, and I'm like, yeah, that's a good one. Why is it called the gridiron? I couldn't really figure it out. I know, you know, the iron strike while it's hot, I guess. I don't know. I couldn't figure out why it's called the gridiron. It's not a grid.
In a way, it's a grid.
Well, it was a grid. So I looked this up. Why is the NFL, the history of the NFL field, the gridiron, how it evolved over time. And it was a grid in the early iterations of the National Football League. That's how they actually were able to mark where the ball was. And it's actually very fascinating. Back in like 1920, it was a grid, literally, because that's how they were able to decide whether it was a first down before chains. But did you know about the hash marks, when they incorporated hash marks and why they incorporated hash marks in the NFL, Crowder?
No, I did not. This is interesting to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is fascinating. The hash marks is one of the, and I'm reading from ProFootballHallOfFame.com. The hash marks is one of the most important lines on a football field. The markings determine ball placement throughout a game. There are two sets of hash marks, 2 feet long, 4 inches wide, placed at 5-yard intervals, exactly 70 feet and 9 inches, at a parallel position from each sideline. They write, prior to 1933, hash marks did not exist. The ball was simply marked where the player was tackled down. And the next play began where the previous play ended.
I kind of love that.
So they go on to explain, this resulted in some interesting offense if the runner went out of bounds or the play ended near the sideline. In that case, prior to 1933, before the original hash marks were instituted, the offense had to adjust to an extremely unbalanced formation and run to the wide side. That gave defenses a distinct advantage. So for the first 15 years of the NFL or of professional football in the United States, there were no hash marks. So if you're a ball carrier and you ran out of bounds, the spot of the ball, the official would just mark it at the sideline, and you literally had to line all your offensive linemen, let's say you ran to the right, to the left of the ball, and now you could only run a play one way.
Now, in fairness, it worked back then because all the linemen were Solana's size. Now they're double his size, so the actual room you have there, you know, not as much.
Is that not fascinating? I mean, just like, I don't know, I was reading that, I'm like, what? That is crazy.
Yeah. Just thinking about it now with the players that were allowed to play, probably wasn't a lot of sweep going on because nobody was that fast.
Well, they ran the wing T. What are you talking about?
I don't know if the running backs were the way they look now.
That was Larry Zonka. They all look like Larry Zonka, but even smaller than him.
But this is like way.
No, no, this is like 30, 40 years before.
Zonk's not even born.
No, no.
At this point.
I get that.
Yeah.
So
you'd have to get mad at the ball carrier. Like, why the hell are you getting so close to the sideline?
Like, don't run left, don't run right. But you'd have to have, at this point, I think the forward pass was legalized at this point. you have to have like a right-handed thrower and a left-handed thrower, technically. Because imagine the ball spotted on the right side of the field throwing left. Now you're throwing across your body every single time, or vice versa. It's just, like, to me, it's fascinating how they played this game back in the day. But here we go. How did the field come to be known as the gridiron? Again, prior to the original hash marks and prior to the field looking the way it did, it was actually a grid, and here's why. Attempting to open up the game and reduce its brutality, football rules were modified in 1906 to allow the forward pass. The new rule stipulated, however, that a forward pass could not cross the line of scrimmage within 5 yards of either side of the center. So if you were throwing the ball forward, you couldn't throw the ball further than 5 yards of the center. So of where the line of scrimmage was. This was consistent with a 1903 rule stating that the first player to receive the ball from center also could not cross the line of scrimmage within that same space. If the ball carrier was the recipient of a handoff, lateral or backward pass, he could cross the line at any point. To assist game officials, the field was marked off in a 5-yard by 5-yard grid. Historians believe that the term gridiron was a result. So if you were doing a forward pass, or if you were the first person to grab the ball from the center, you could not throw the ball deeper than 5 yards from where the center was, and you could not run in the vicinity of the center for more than 5 yards. So they literally had to paint a grid 5 yards by 5 yards in order to be as consistent officiating these rules. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a mother bleeping 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored that you will remember. You just learned why the NFL field is referred to as the gridiron.
That was very difficult to follow, I'll be honest.
That was a boring-ass game to watch. I'm glad somebody smart got involved.
Well, you can see why, you know, Hawk had to quit playing football back in 1903 at the Chief Shy. He's not even here. But it is fascinating, right? Like, to see how the game has evolved. Baseball has been played the same way since 1806. The only difference is the players do a lot less drinking before and during games now. Allegedly.
Well, yeah, all the rules, you're right. And then basketball added 3-point line and all that stuff. Football, I'm a love football. I didn't know all these this foolishness.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Appel, you're an NFL broadcaster. Did you know any of this stuff?
Kind of, but not like the full breadth of the explanation.
You can just say you didn't know. It's all right.
I knew. I said I wouldn't fully understand. And I still don't, because the explanation that you gave, read a little better next time.
Text it in, 305-567-0560. Were you fascinated by this, or was that the dumbest piece of information you've ever heard? And we'll tally up. Jimmy will tally up all the votes. And if that was the dumbest information you ever heard, well, then I will forever hand off 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored duties to anybody else on the show. Text it in, 305-567.
I do believe it could have been articulated better, but I get it. I get it. You're my boy. I get it.
Articulated better? I mean, what are you guys, shooting up Tylenol? Like, how much better could I have articulated that? I read it word for word from the Pro Football Hall of Fame website. You got an issue, take it up with them.
I think
the first person to touch a ball and then the 5 yards from the center.
I think this perfectly encapsulates how this segment went. Here are two comments in a row from the chat. One, it was great. The very next one, that was rough.
That's fair. I like this one. Hey, insert McDaniels what?
Hey, man, they didn't know what to do offensively before black people could play. Hey, guys, we're going to keep all the white guys piled up in the middle of the field. Let them push each other for 4 quarters.
I would want to see like a modern version of football where the hash marks don't exist and you got to start the plays.
Right.
I do want to see that.
Josh, they would put 8 people on the field side and blitz the hell out of the field. There'd be nowhere to go. The field, you could condense the field to 10 yards.
Some teams already do that because they stink.
All right, let's do headlines here. Enough enough about hash marks. Let's do headlines.
Love a good hash mark.
They're brought to you by Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com. College football. I don't understand why the hash marks are wider in college football than in the NFL. And
that I don't know.
It makes it more difficult, in my opinion. I could be wrong here. Does it not make it more difficult to make a field goal?
Here's
especially
why.
From closer to the field. And wouldn't you make it more difficult at the NFL level compared to the collegiate level?
Well, in college, they want to encourage more diverse formations and plays that utilize that extra lateral space on the field. That's according to Google AI. So there you go.
Yeah. It's advantageous to offenses. You're 100% correct. For kickers, it sucks. But offenses to have like bootlegs and things, it's advantageous to offense.
Okay.
College kickers, it wouldn't make a difference if the hash marks were the width of the goalposts or if they were kicking from the sideline. College kickers are terrible by and large across the board, no matter where they're kicking from.
They always look scared, too. I hate college kickers. They look terrified every time they go out there.
I think UF won a championship 1 year. Maybe it was 06 with a kicker who literally missed like 70% of his kicks during the season. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Oh, I do, because I used to hate him until I loved him, because he hit the one at Ohio State. Same kicker that was beating Ohio State. I hate him too, but I love him.
Well, let me run through some headlines here. The Florida Panthers are back on the ice tonight. They host the New Jersey Devils. That'll be at 7 p.m. Listen to that, FM 104.3 WQAM. Canes Hoops, they play Elon tonight, 7 p.m. Canes are a heavy favorite. That'll be on AM 560 tonight. The Heat did win last night. They beat the Golden State Warriors light. No Steph, no Jimmy, no Draymond, no Al Horford, no Kuminga. Miami got a big-time performance in the fourth quarter, 17 points from Norman Powell. They'll play the Bulls tomorrow. The Bulls beat the Blazers with a buzzer beater last night. Vucci Main for the win at the buzzer. That'll be an NBA Cup game. The Heat, if they want to advance out of group play in East Group C, have to win this game tomorrow. If they fall to 1-2, they're essentially eliminated. So that's the deal there. And the Dolphins today, they signed A.J. Green from the Los Angeles Rams practice squad. So either the Dolphins find a new DB or they have a washed-up wide receiver. And I don't know which one it is.
I was about to say, I think A.J. Green is – he hung it up, the one we know.
Nah, he's going to fill Juju Brent's spot, who was placed on the IR, because cornerback A.J. Green was poached from a practice squad. He's got to be signed to the 53-man roster. So there are some reinforcements there.
Crowder, the guy that you hate but also love, Chris Hetland, 06.
Hetland.
There you go.
Yeah, he used to have his little buzz cut. When you dislike somebody, you could say anything with hate. With that buzz cut, I hated his hair, I hated him.
Yeah, with that 6 of 15 field goals out here. Ridiculous. Do better.
Those 6 were sweet. Those 6 were sweet.
I want to talk more NBA coming up in the next segment. Before we get there, your weather, it's sponsored by Chillzone AC, featuring reliable Root AC systems. Make your AC great again. Visit ChillzoneAC.com. Right now in South Florida, the sun is out. It's in the 80s. Tonight, the lows will be in the 70s. Rohan Nadkarni is going to join us again. Writes about sports for NBC Sports. Also covers the NBA. Pays close attention to the Miami Heat. Plus, the Miami Dolphins as well. So we'll kind of just go around the NBA, the Heat, and some Dolphin stuff with him on the other side as the 3 o'clock hour continues on the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana Show.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
50% of the time I stay in hotels, I clog the toilet.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Speaking of basketball, I am very excited to welcome in Rohan Nadkarni, who is one of our favorite guests every single time I can convince him to jump on. And I have to use the ploy of, hey, you get to talk football with Channing Crowder. And, and you know, I do that proudly every single time. Rohan is a sports reporter at NBC News. And Rohan, you're still up in Chicago, right?
I am. Yeah, I'll be in South Florida next week, though. So,
all right. Don't
mess up me and Ro's relationship. Just let us be happy, man. You a hater.
I was just thinking when I got on here how perfect a signed photo of Channing Crowder's inception founder would be over my shoulder.
I got you, brother. I don't have any addresses or anything. We'd have to do that later.
Hey, Rohan. I don't know. Do you have a microphone? I'm struggling hearing you, and I want to make sure that we maximize our time with you. I don't know if maybe your mic's not connected, or maybe we just have to reconnect with you. I just want to make sure that what's going on up there? The Wi-Fi in Chicago is
must be the same Wi-Fi that Crowder dealt with in Vegas.
Can you guys hear me now? I changed my mic.
It's a little bit better. We'll see.
Why don't I cut that on? Because I want to make sure I got a lot of health mistakes.
That's right. Yeah.
I want to make sure I get off the test.
Yeah. I want to make sure.
Right, we'll call you.
If not, we'll call you. That works as well. while we wait for Rohan.
I mean, that was a great appearance. Comes on, asks for a Crowder autograph, and then see you later.
Very efficient. Hey, man, I'm watching NBA today talking about basketball, and they're talking about the Heat right now.
They're showing love to Norman Powell right now as well. Bro,
that's because
they were talking about they called the Heat's offense controlled chaos. They said nobody really knows what they're doing, but it's working because it goes so fast.
It's low key like a really good way to describe it. Norman Powell yesterday dropped 17 in the fourth quarter. He shot 8 of 9 in the fourth quarter. I mean, Crowder, this dude's going to make an all-star team.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's going to make the all-star game if you keep playing this way. And it's funny because he went 7 of 8, 2 of 3, 1 of 1 from the free throw line, 17 points. He was a plus 10 in the fourth quarter, and the Heat needed it. This was literally like a one-score game with about 5 minutes to go in the game, so the Heat genuinely needed it as we welcome back Rohan Nadkarni.
I'm back.
There we go. That sounds a lot better. we were just talking, Rohan, about Norman Powell. And I don't know like exactly how much attention you've been paying to the Miami Heat, but Norman, you know, I've been telling Crowder's poised right now to make an all-star appearance if he continues to play like this. Has he exceeded expectations when he was traded here? Because I think everybody saw he was coming off a career year. But, man, I mean, he is, I think, blowing expectations out of the water in a Heat jersey.
It's really been a perfect fit. You know, Solana, I've watched, I think, every single game except one. I've absolutely been plugged in because I think this is a really fun team and a really fun season. Watching Norm has almost been bittersweet for me because I'm just thinking about how perfect of a fit he would have been the last 3 years when this team was kind of battling in the Eastern Conference, going deep in the playoffs. Seeing what he's brought to the team, thinking about how he could have helped in 2023 and 2022, et cetera. But he's been a great fit. It's been a ton of fun, to your point. I think I saw today fastest to 300 points in Heat history. Think about the players that have been on the Miami Heat. He's a professional scorer, a scorer first. And I think Spo has really unleashed him in the sense that they're not really asking Norm to play make. You know, they're not putting a lot on his plate. They're like, go get buckets, and that's what he's been doing.
And Ro, to that point, and speaking about the pace of play, I'm not used to watching the Spo team play this fast, and they're taking shots with 18 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, we're not used to that. We're used to the drag them in the mud. It is. You said it. It's fun to watch. I've enjoyed this way more than I've enjoyed it watching the Heat in the past, especially without the big three. But is it sustainable for success? Because it seems like this is a style of guys running out of juice and getting hurt a lot.
Well, it depends what your definition of success is, Channing. Do I think they can have regular season success playing this way? I really think they can. They have a younger team. I think they have a deep rotation, right? Think about how they play those all bench lineups. You know, they're not playing Bam 45 minutes a night and asking to play at this pace. They still haven't had Tyler Herro yet. So I think that they can play at this pace and be successful. Can they do it in the playoffs? Now, that's a different question. You saw a team like the Indiana Pacers, for example. Now, they don't play the exact same style as the Miami Heat, but they're a team that liked to play fast. They played full court pressure in the playoffs. I was there at the NBA Finals watching these guys. We're talking about games 5, 6, and 7, the last three games of the NBA season, picking guys up, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, full court. So I do think it's possible. I think to be the championship-level team that everyone wants down here, that's not what this group is, right? I think we all know they're kind of missing that star player, but this is a really fun team. I think what Spo has done is maximize the group, which is what's most important. So I think this can definitely be a successful regular season team. And in the playoffs in the East, who knows?
Rohan, how do you see Tyler Herro meshing with Norman Powell, meshing in this system when he does come back?
That's really the million-dollar question. I think that when Tyler comes back, you will almost definitely see the team run more pick and rolls. It would be kind of foolish not to. Tyler, I think, ran the 17th most pick and rolls per game last year. He was really high usage in that category. We know that, especially late in games in the half court, you know, you saw like in that Knicks game a couple weeks ago, there have been a couple games, the Cavs game, late in the fourth quarter. How are they going to get offense? Can you play this way late in the fourth quarter? I think Tyler's going to help a lot in those situations just because they'll have kind of a last resort. Hey, let's run a pick and roll. I think him and Norm playing off of each other offensively is going to be really good. It's going to create even more spacing. The starting lineup does not have a ton of great spacing right now, and Tyler should help that a lot. But there is that defensive question, and Davion has been, I think, remarkable.
Hey, Rohan, before we wrap up our Heat conversation and talk some Dolphins with you, does this, with how Spo transformed the offense, does this have the potential to be like his Mona Lisa in terms of coaching? And I know it sounds ridiculous because he's won two titles. He went to 4 NBA finals with the big three. And I think, you know, even that team, he kind of reimagined how you play with a big. And the Heat, to a certain extent, kind of changed the way that basketball was played in the short term. I know Steph Curry had much more of an impact. And then he made Dion Waiters and Hassan Whiteside fun. And like there's so many things. He had Haywood Highsmith guarding Jason Tatum in a game 7, and like nobody was upset about it. Like there's so many things you can point to. That game 7 in Boston a couple years ago after blowing the 3-0 lead. But if this continues to work, there's a possibility he wins Coach of the Year for the first time in his career. Will this be like his Mona Lisa, his best piece of art as one of the best coaches? I could not. Thank you.
I think it's going to be hard to top taking an 8th seed to the finals and beating the Boston Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks on route to it. I mean, I will say, you know, I think history, when people look back, oh, Jimmy went crazy, the 3-point shooting went crazy. I think that this has the chance. Two things have to happen. Once the offense has to get back in the top 10, their offense is actually 16th in offensive rating right now. So, and they're scoring a lot because the pace is super high. But I think the playoffs, how it will shake out in the playoffs, will they stay committed to it in the playoffs? Will he reinvent them again in the playoffs? Will he get to the second round? Will he get to the conference finals? I think it has the potential, depending on how deep they go, especially with this group. But I do think, you know, if they win something close to like 50 games, he's going to have a legitimate chance. To your point, he's never won the award before. I think people will want to give it to him, but nobody there every year, Solana, you know it. Every year we hear it in the preseason, they're going to play fast this year. I never believe it. I'm like, show it to me, you know, in game 10 of the season, I'll believe it. This year they're showing it, and I believe it.
Rohan Nadkarni, again, he's a sports reporter for NBC News. Let's do it. Let's talk some Dolphins.
I was just going to say Mona Lisa one more time. I thought we were trying to make
it. Will this be Mike McDaniel's Mona Lisa?
It's like the guy who's only knows only one painting. He's just like, it's like, this movie is like the Mona Lisa. Yeah.
We got a record now, fellas.
I mean, what are you guys? Art majors? Are you, what are you, Starry Night? I mean, the worst part is, like, I've been to the Met, I've been to the MoMA, I've been to the Louvre, like, I've been to all these museums, and for the life of me, I could not, I'm sweating, like, I could not think of one more painting.
Mona Lisa?
Yeah. That's good.
Are you buying, Rohan, are you buying the Dolphins' two-game winning streak? They're 4-7, they enter the bye week, and they've got the Saints, the Jets, like, what do you make of this season thus far?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Okay, I'm so glad you have me on here and asked me this question, because I've kind of made this argument to other people, but no one cares about it. And this is the forum for me to make this argument. And I'm about to explain why Mike McDaniel should be the Miami Dolphins head coach in 2026.
Wow. Oh, okay. Yes. All right. You got us.
Now,
let's go.
Now listen to me. Listen to me. Here's the thing. Every year, even when Tua was good, even when Tua was leading the league in passing, what did we hear from people? He's not that good. He's a limited quarterback. He's being propped up. Okay. I have a couple things to say about this. Number one, if Tua is as bad as everyone says he is, right, and you can lead the league in passing with him, okay, think about how much you would have – Solana, if I came up to you 20 years ago and said one year the Dolphins will have the most exciting offense in the NFL, what would you have been willing to give up for that? Think about what you would have been willing to give up to watch the Miami Dolphins offense we got to see in 2022 and 2023. And they did it with a quarterback everyone said was a fraud, okay? If Tua is as bad as everyone says he is, I don't know how you don't look at McDaniel as one of the greatest offensive minds of a generation. And if it was as simple as running his system, Channing knows it. It's a copycat league. Everyone would do it, okay? It's, in fact, not that easy, I think, to coach the system he has. You look at what he's done this year, the last few weeks. I know people have been killing him for not committing to the run game, not committing to the run game. They're running with a backup right tackle, a right guard they signed off a practice squad in the middle of the season, a rookie left guard, people are saying is one of the worst left guards in the NFL. And they've transformed this rushing attack the last few weeks. You know what we haven't talked about at all? The fact that Tyreek Hill is not even on this team anymore. Like, no one's bringing that up. And I don't think – they've had some lulls offensively, but they've also had some great moments. I just think that he is such a unique offensive mind. And beyond that, this is kind of a weird thing to talk about. I'm curious, Channing, I'd really like to get your perspective here genuinely as a player, because I don't know if you guys remember when Tua had that really scary concussion in the Bills game last year. You know, on the field, he had the fencing pose again. I think there was a story that the first person he asked for after that was Mike. He was like, you know, where's Mike? Like, to me, there's like a real human aspect of what Mike McDaniel does that I think is so unique as an NFL coach that I just kind of think that's the way forward. I think that's the way to coach a team, the relationships he builds, what he's done offensively. And beyond that, like what they did with the roster in the offseason, it became one of the oldest rosters to one of the youngest. The offensive line we know sucks. The defense needed time to gel. I just think there's too many positives to give up on a guy who's not perfect. But I my fear is that he's going to go somewhere else and be a great coach. So I'll lob it up to you guys. But that's my case.
No. Well, I would say the relatability thing is a lot. I think there's less Sabins, the Belichicks, the guy that thinks this isn't Tua Tagovailoa, this is QB1. Mm-hmm. I think that thought of that just as interchangeable pieces, I think that's gone. If you look at the good teams like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you start looking mm-hmm. at those guys and who is it, Joe Brady and Josh Allen, and that connection, I think it's bigger. But to your point about McDaniel, I think he is an awesome play caller. I don't know if he's head coach material there. And I don't know if he can galvanize the guys to go out there. I don't know if that laughing, playful, even the players' coaches aren't as silly and goofy and all that as him. And the team comes off as soft with having a nicer head coach.
Yeah.
Where you see the teams that are winning, the Dan Campbells, the Nick Sirianni's, the, you know, those tougher teams, even the John Harbaugh. That's the thing with me and Mike McDaniel is the entirety of the team. I do believe he's a good play caller. But also, it surprised me that you're on McDaniel's side. How do you feel about them getting rid of Chris Greer and keeping McDaniel? Because I thought that would be a marriage that had to be broken at all costs.
Here's the thing. You can't sit here and pretend like that's the best way to run a franchise. We all know that, like, history isn't kind to teams that decide we're going to keep one of the coach and GM and kind of do a shotgun marriage with one of the guys with the next guy. The Dolphins have done it too many times in our lifetime, and we've been upset about it, right? I will say, I think Greer had to go. I'm never the type to be like, that's not true. I've called for people to be fired before. Heck, you know, first half during the Commanders game, I was like, McDaniel can't get on the plane after that field goal. I was like, maybe not, okay? Or not kicking the field goal, I should say. I do think, you know, what Greer did between the cap and not building the right roster around Tua, I think is the reason why he had to be fired. And obviously everyone wants an elite quarterback. This isn't me defending Tua and saying he's better than Justin Herbert or he's better than Josh Allen, et cetera. You look at what the Broncos have done for Bo Nix. You look at what the Eagles have done for Jalen Hurts. These are teams that are winning because they've found a way to build the exact right roster around your quarterback. Is it harder when you don't have an elite quarterback? Obviously, right? Obviously, you want Josh Allen, who can erase the mistakes, who can be a guy that's like, we don't have any good receivers, but it doesn't matter. Yes, but I would say it's harder to find an elite quarterback than it is to build a right roster around a pretty good one. And I think the Dolphins still, deep down somewhere, have a pretty good one. If they can – when was the last time Tua had like 3 seconds to drop back in the pocket and scan the field? Can I see one season of that before I write the guy off?
Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Because even if he did, if he feels somebody coming, he's throwing the ball away anyways, you know, right into the ground.
It's just unfortunate. One thing also people have not really talked about this year, because I think something that's sad for me is people will look at Tua this year and be like, see, we told you. This is who this guy has always been. The physical decline he's shown is something people have not really talked about. Like,
yeah.
He was never the strongest thrower, but it was never this bad. He was never the most mobile guy, but it was never like this. And I don't know if it's a fear. I don't know if it's what they've told him to do, but he looks like a different guy.
It's definitely the physical aspect of it. The injuries piling up over and over again, because this, we said it earlier in the season, the 2022 health version of him that was healthy, obviously not when he was concussed, completely different guy than the one that we've seen this year. Completely different.
Rohan, we got to go because we're up against it, but I appreciate you stopping by, and we love talking Fins with you.
I just wanted one full hour of Dolphins talk, please. I'm ready.
Well, so here's the thing. Rohan's been wanting to come in studio with us, but Hawk and Crowder have never been in studio.
Black
Friday. That's changed, Rohan.
Return to work.
The boss was like, "Hey, get your asses back in studio."
My bad. I'm remote, so I can't even.
So when you're here next week, text me and we'll bring you in. So we'll try to bring you in so we can do some Dolphins, break it down with you. Awesome. But get a better take than bringing back Tua McDaniel. I mean, come on, workshop that.
But I put a spin on it.
Though. I'm not gonna lie.
Rohan,
I was surprised as hell about that one.
Me too.
I like it.
Rohan Nadkarni, again, he's a reporter covering several things, sports especially, for NBC News. We appreciate you, man, and we'll talk soon.
Anytime, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thanks,
there
Ron.
You go. All right. We'll take a break. 4 o'clock hours coming up next. We'll try to win some money with Rob Pozzola, who will join us in the 4 o'clock hour on Hockman, Crowder, and Solana.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Khalil?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.